Go to the Word Radio Broadcast, a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Luke, and we're in chapter 19. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word. Luke in chapter 19 this morning. We are living in some strange days, and yet we are not without instruction on how we ought to be conducting ourselves in times like these. And as you look at your Bibles, you will recall that we have been in a study of the book of Luke, and I come back to it today because I feel like God would have us to recognize that just because the world is in an upheaval does not mean that God does not have everything under control. He is sovereign over everything, providentially involved in all things, and everything is according to plan right now. You and I, though, must take the moment to gather ourselves and say, you know what? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And we can quote that and then add to it, no matter what. Okay? Because that's what we have. And He is enough. And so when we come to this chapter, I have to go back because it's been a few weeks since we've been in chapter 18. But you will recall that a rich young ruler came up to Jesus and asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And of course, the unfolding of that story was that the man went away sorrowful. And I maintain that it's very likely that that man did come to a place where he came back. And the reason I suggested as much is because the Bible says in that passage that Jesus says it may seem impossible, but with God all things are possible. And what we see in real time, because it's pretty much on the heels of that, is that another rich man comes to Jesus, and that is in chapter 19. Interestingly enough, it is right on the heels of the other. So you're thinking, you know, the disciples even ask, well, who then can be saved? We've left all, what about us? And we find ourselves scratching our heads sometimes in fear and trepidation that somehow maybe we have not measured up. Well, I want to suggest to you as we come to this chapter, we're going to be looking at the issue of pragmatism. You know, we ought to be pragmatists. And when I say that, I mean, in essence, what the word in the Greek means. The word from the Greek has the idea of being that which has a plan and an intentionality. We have that. The difference between the pragmatism that you and I have and that the world has is that the world's pragmatism is based upon a system that it loves. Remember when the Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. All these are not of the Father, but they're of the world, and they're passing away. We're not supposed to love them. Remember that? Well, that is what the world goes by. They're pragmatists with all of that in the crosshairs of their day-to-day lives. They're shooting for the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. They're trying to get everything to align with that. But believers who are pragmatists are seeing things from a different perspective. Our pragmatism comes from the perspective of the heavens. Wisdom has been defined as the ability to see things from God's perspective. And I want to suggest to you that as pragmatists, spiritually speaking, we can get through no matter what may come our way because we have the Lord's blessing of His Word in our lives. We can see what He has to say about the things that we are looking at even in our day. Even though we're not in a passage that deals with these last days, we are in a passage of Scripture that deals with the days upon the earth. And so look at verse 1. The Bible says, and Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was. I'd ask you to underline the words, who he was. Because he'd probably heard. But you know, Zacchaeus is kind of a rich guy. He's the chief of the publicans, as we're told in verse 2. That means he was more of a turncoat in the eyes of his fellow citizens. They did not like Zacchaeus. But Zacchaeus was just taking the world he had been given and living in it. Do you know, some people can look at the world and immediately figure out how to manipulate men and people and put things together. You think of Henry Ford and his ability to put together the assembly line. And, you know, the Industrial Revolution blows up from one man's vision. You know, and we've got people like Lee Iacocca who turned around Chrysler with the minivan. And you see people like Donald Trump who gets up there and he's on the ropes at one point in his career. And then he comes back and he becomes a billionaire and he's got buildings all over the globe. And it's just a phenomenon that you and I really cannot even touch the hem of for the most part. But some people have that ability. But some of you do have an ability that is like that on a smaller scale. I can do certain things in my trade. You could do certain things in a trade you know well. And you could maybe come up with different things that you just think you feel very competent in. And I want to suggest to you, Zacchaeus was just a guy who actually did have an ability to enter into his world with gusto. Now, understand something. If you were him and you were in his shoes, and you were born into the days that Zacchaeus was born into, when he looked around, he saw what the system looked like. And the system looked like there were the haves and the have-nots. And the Jewish leadership were people who wanted power, and he understood them to be power brokers. And I would suggest to you that he understood that the only way to live with a little bit of opulence, maybe with a little bit of luxury, was to begin to beat the system. In other words, get involved in the system and work the system. Years ago, my wife and I were in Pennsylvania, and she was going out on the election day in that area, and she was standing out there with her sign as wherever it was legal to do so, and was saying, "Vote for this candidate." We don't even remember who it was at the time. But she was standing by another guy, and the other guy happened to be one of the people who was on the ballot that day. And she says, "How can you vote for him? He's a crook. He doesn't even pay his taxes." He says, "I'm that guy." And he said, "I don't pay my taxes because I don't have to. And it works for me not to." But see, the point is that people do that. They manipulate and work within the system. I say this because we've got a song. Zacchaeus was a wee little man. A wee little man was he. He climbed up in a sycamore tree because Jesus he wanted to see. And as the Lord came, like Zacchaeus, all the song, you know the song. And my point is that we sing about this guy. But really we don't hear much about much of the machinery of his heart. So we have to dive in. His name literally means pure. And if you would say he's a purist, I want to suggest when it says he wanted to see Jesus, who he was, I think he was saying, is there something different here? Do you know, no matter which thread you go with, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, or the pride of life, you're going to find out at length that it is, in fact, a disappointment. The world's way is disappointing. It cannot meet your needs. And here's a man, the Bible says, was rich. He was chief in verse 2 among the publicans, and he was rich. We just heard Jesus say in chapter 18, how hard is it for a rich man to enter? And then we're introduced to Zacchaeus here. He was rich. And we're thinking, well, he's got trouble. I mean, if we were just reading it for the first time, we'd say, well, here's another one. Here's going to be another non-starter. Here's another guy. But the Bible says he sought to see Jesus, who he was. I want to suggest that you and I need to recognize that there are people in our world that may be on the outside look very much distant from the things of God, but on the inside they really would like to really see Jesus. And I think that you and I are the only depiction they're going to have. It's very important for us to take that personally. To pick up the baton. We are His hands and His feet. The Bible says that we are the body of Christ. And when we come to Zacchaeus, he's a man whose name means pure. And he probably had been, faced with the decision each one of us is faced with. A system that he's born into. And many people will try to beat the system. Some people will try to play the system. And some people will try to opt out of the system. You see people with their hair spiked and, goth attire and rings and even little things put up under the skin to make them look reptilian and splitting their tongues. What's that all about? It's opting out of the system. They're saying, I don't believe in the system. They're trying to treat it like it's non-issue. But the fact is that they're part of a subsystem of the greater system is what it is. And they don't realize they're being played. They're not playing the system. But you and I have that same kind of a challenge. Are we going to beat the system? Or are we going to hate the system? Or are we going to opt out of the system? And sometimes people just hate it. They go through life with a disposition of hate. They hate the system. And so they live in disagreement with the system. And all through their lives, they don't realize that really it's not about the system, because you got to chuck the system completely and get the right system. And that's where we come into the kingdom of God, which is where the Bible says that the kingdom of God is among you. It's within you. Wherever Jesus reigns, the king resides. And where he resides, that's where the kingdom is. And if he's in your heart, then you have him. But see, there was no real illustrations of that in the days of Zacchaeus. He had the Pharisees, he had the Jewish religion, he had the temple and the priests, and he could look and he could say, this is kind of disappointing. But I see how they're all playing the game. You know, religious leaders can play the game. They can play the system. I remember it dawning on me years ago when I was coming through as a preacher that early on people would honor that reality. Like they would honor police officers. Hey, your piece of pie is on us, or, you know, the dinner's on us. We're just glad you're here, officer or pastor. But things began to change, and I began to realize what was happening around me was that the real high priests of our society became psychologists and psychiatrists, and what they call them now is social engineers. And they're using our schools, and they're using our military, and they're trying to manipulate us all to try to get in lockstep with a lot of nonsensical things that don't make any sense at all. And any pragmatist from a biblical perspective would look at that and say, it makes no sense. But if you had no alternative, and it was all that there was, then you would play by their rules. And hence we get Antifa and children, our children, burning down buildings, breaking windows, and hurting older people, walking up and hitting them and kicking them on the streets. That's what you get when you lose control of the system. Well, Zacchaeus, he was a man who had a system that he was born into. And if you recall back in Luke 18, where it says, you know, he told the man who came to him, the rich man, what he needed to do to inherit eternal life. He said this, you know the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not kill, do not bear false witness, honor your father and your mother. And he said, all these have I kept from my youth up. Now see, there was a rich man who didn't try to beat the system or even hate the system. He was under the system and it was hard for him. He actually tried to keep the law from his youth up. And the word keep literally has the idea of to fearfully guard something, not to faithfully guard something. We made that point back when we were in the chapter. To fearfully guard something is to live in a state of dread. Now, God would not have our relationship with him to be a state of dread. God wants us to enjoy the Lord. We have that catechism that talks about the soul end of man is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. And you and I hear that. One little boy got it messed up. He said the whole purpose of God is to glorify God and to annoy him forever. You know, so we kind of feel like that. We're that guy. But the fact is that there is a calling on our lives to enjoy the Lord. That's what it is. But this guy, he was all about the law. He just thought, I need to be very fastidious. He was a good little Jewish boy. He was going to keep the law. And he fearfully guarded the law. When Jesus raised the bar just a little bit and said, you need to go sell everything you have, because he looked at him and he loved him. And he had gotten to the place where he evidently was tired. Tired of playing by those rules, because they weren't working for him. Like I said, all of the ways of the system of the world will disappoint. And so he comes to Jesus in front of everybody. What must I do? Well, aren't you already sure? No, I'm not sure. I need to ask the master. And so he came to him and he said, what must I do? And Jesus answered him. As a result of that, what we have is we have a picture of two different men who played the game a little differently. But this man was coming in eagerness, earnestness, and desire for something else. Do you ever desire something else?
Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies. And we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.